an accelerated version of life in the world of becoming a better trader. Volatility, in fact, all the cornerstones of success in trading are going to be driven by being less volatile than the market participants is one, for example. If you can be, on balance of probabilities, slightly more stable and less swayed by emotion or the moment of the current data, and we've got a perfect example in that in the gold markets, by the way, right now. Now, there could be an element of that coming for us, but the hyperstagflation is the stage we are in now. The hyper part is applying to the stagflation, which means an economic, a weak economic environment, think the 70s to a degree, but a much more extreme version of it, whilst at the same time a stubbornly high and climbing cost of living. So the one is slightly cancelling out the other.
Francis, GDX has been breaking out lately. Gold itself has recently hit all-time highs. We did see a dip earlier today. How are you reading that? Is that a short-term pullback sentiment starting to shift? Is that just a minor hiccup? How do you view that?
So in terms of miners, miners' costs are in a recession because they're paying terrible fiat, bad money. They're getting rid of bad money whilst they're pulling out of the ground great money. And their costs are with oil. One of the largest costs with digging a hole in the ground is energy, is actually been dipping and going down. So their margins are being boosted on the bottom line, getting lower. And at the same time, their top line is in a parabola.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Steve Yang. Today, we got Francis Hunt on the show, also known as the Market Sniper. Francis, it's awesome to have you here. Thanks for joining me on the show here.
Oh, delighted to be with you, Steve. Thanks for having us on.
Francis, you've spent several decades analyzing charts, spotting patterns, predicting market moves with sniper-level precision. You are the market sniper, after all. I've got a serious question for you. Do you ever try to apply the same strategy to life? Does the Hunt volatility funnel help you with your kids' moves, predict your spouse's next move, or figure out what's for dinner or what shirt to wear?
It's a good and fun question. In fact, I would say, whilst there's a certain element of jest to your question, I would also say there's immensely an accelerated version of life in the world of becoming a better trader. Volatility, in fact, all the cornerstones of success in trading are going to be driven by being less volatile than the market participants is one, for example. If you can be, on balance of probabilities, slightly more stable and less swayed by emotion or the moment of the current data, and we've got a perfect example in that in the gold markets, by the way, right now. We can parlay that a little more just now. You tend to be an outperformer. If you are more emotional than the aggregate of the average participant, you largely don't have a chance. And in fact, in the absence of a strategy that you bow and you take a knee to, which is actually a dispassionate manner about going about your business, in the void, there are no vacuums. Emotionality and momentum chasing and all the worst, lowest common denominators rush in and fill the void. So we have reasons to enter, levels to enter at, reasons and set stop losses and take profits. And, you know, the short-term trader that didn't have a take profit would, you know, would be facing the gold down move. The long-term trader shouldn't care about what's happened on the downside on gold. It's a bit of volatility and actually in time could represent a buying opportunity. So the macro to the micro by time frame, everything that we do in HVF method has an analogy for life. The patient win out over the impatient. All of these aspects and volatility comes into this immensely. In terms of what the wife cooked for dinner, it's not too accurate, I would say. In terms of children or events, when you have a sustained period of no bad news, low volatility, everybody calm, the on balance of probability outcome is a sudden detonation of the volatility as per HBF method. So you can be sure that the calm will be rocked at some point if you've had a particularly good period. And the fact is people get more comfortable with the calm and more sloppy. And by virtue of that, they almost ensure they bring in the volatility. So it is very much like markets.
Francis, I was not expecting that. That's something that the Hunt Volatility Funnel cannot have predicted. I love it. Francis, let's get right into it. You've been vocal about the unsustainability of fiat and ballooning global debt. Where do you think we are in the so-called debt bomb cycle right now?
So we've done macro calls, and in some senses, I feel a bit like a Cassandra, which is, I'm channeling the lady who predicted the world's end and no one listened. We tend to be the first because we look at the macro technicals on many, many things. It's a well lesser known fact that we actually in 2020, in the back end of September, said the first technical break. We've all been saying the debt bubble will eventually have to end fundamentally. You can't go on forever. But no one has ever had a technical call that they said it. In an inverted, upside, steeply ascending HVF, when everyone was saying buy gold, my apologies, buy bonds, wear diamonds, we actually said you're about to go into a deep, deep sell-off. And it could hit a critical level. And if it were to rally there, you're going to probably have a head and shoulder. So we scenario cast for 3 years forward. And we said, we think this is the term, the top. So for the very first call we ever made on a macro time frame, we're talking weekly, monthly, quarterly bond charts on the TLT, which is the long-term ETF proxy for long-dated bonds. We made our first call, bearish call on bonds. And we said, this is going to prove to be the most significant call of them all, because it is the beginning of the reset that follows. Because debt, by how it exists, is the mechanism that they've been taxing you through inflation and governmentary expenditure. Now, once they no longer have the ability to use the debt markets to the same degree, the bottomless overdraft is pulled. They revert more totalitarian. They'll revert into tax scavenge mode. They have to come more directly for taxes from you, which tariffs is part thereof. They also have to renege on the social contracts, which is welfare, Medicaid, all of the degrees of unfunded liabilities that they won't be able to meet. Plus, they have to reduce services. And with that debt debasement, deflation, it also involves fiat buying power loss as well. So by deflating the debt, the two are Siamese twins. And as a result, we said that that is the death of an asset class. You're going into financial repression for that asset class for an extended period. And that is the turbo juice we then inferred for gold. So we've been preaching gold for a long, long time. A lot of people think, like, you know, if they just come across us now, that we've been preaching for gold. In 2009, I was looking and securing the global stagflation URL. I went to go start a YouTube channel called Hyperstagflation, only to find somebody else had already assumed it, loaded up a bunch of things in 2009, and then never loaded up again. But I can't have the name. But on Twitter and X and all the other places, we continue to refer to the economic epoch, because this is an epoch era. And you must always invest according to the epoch. You know, if you're in a desert and it's hot, you don't want a Macintosh and an umbrella. You're going to sweat. It's not very useful. It's heavy. You don't want to be in galoshes and rubber boots. But if it's chucking down in rain, you do want to have that equipment. And you've got to invest for your epoch. And we see this. The big frustration is I see lots of people comparing errors that go, you know, they'll say, oh, but gold has underperformed, you know, the 90s equity bull market. Yes, that was the financialization of everything, 90s equity game. For that epoch, you just needed to be long stocks. And in fact, it's the only time you've had a proper blow off in gold ounce terms for the tech equity market and even the general equity market in the mid 90s. Those epochs are over, and they've set up this epoch. And the 2020 debt reversal call is the acceleration of the gold silver reserve asset epoch, which we've been seeing. And now you've had the recent events. And we now have all the people laughing at gold buyers who've been buying since 1100 because we are 6% down from our all-time high, whilst Bitcoin is 13, 14, 15% down and everyone else just because we've had one or two bad days. We've been in a blow-off on gold, and it reflects the debasement convexity, which is your bankruptcy curve. I like to call it the bankruptcy curve, Hemingway's bankruptcy curve. Slowly at first and then suddenly very fast. You are in the suddenly very fast stage. We're going to live in exceedingly interesting times right now, short term. I'm totally wired every morning. I get up and I want to see. I'm expecting big things all the time. This is going to be the most interesting economic history period to be engaged. But most people are incorrectly positioned for it. And then from that point, it's going to be exceedingly destructive. Anyway, I've said quite a bit. Let's let you come back at me.
I got two questions. One, could you unpack the hyper stagflation a little bit more? And then secondly, you said most people are incorrectly positioned. Can you expound on that?
Sure. So what do I mean by hyper stagflation? Please note it's hyper stagflation, not hyperinflation. So hyperinflation is Zimbabwe, Venezuela, when you go deep into double digits and you extend right even in some instances into triple digits, and you just, and it doesn't tend to last particularly long because all debt instruments and all fiats chronically devalue and you end up very quickly in a reset. Now, there could be an element of that coming for us, but the hyperstagflation is the stage we are in now. The hyper part is applying to the stagflation, which means an economic, a weak economic environment. Think the 70s to a degree, but a much more extreme version of it, whilst at the same time, a stubbornly high and climbing cost of living. So the one is slightly canceling out the other. Everybody thinks you're either inflationary or deflationary or disinflationary. You can't have inflationary forces at the same time as you have disinflationary forces. And I'm here to tell you that there's quite a few things that are currently very inflationary. The loss of buying power of the dollar, not just against other fiats who are also failing. I refer to them as lepers in the leper colony. Some are a little bit more scabby than the others and will die a tiny bit sooner. But this is a relative benchmark of sick people. But the true benchmark is a gold ounce for wealth and preservation of capital. And against gold ounces, all fiats are actually failing. So they are clearly all lepers and gold is clearly not one. But the dollar is falling away at an immense level. So that means you have stubbornly high costs of living, with the exception of oil, which is part of the stagnation, which we predicted. So not only did we predict another 2019 gold long, oil short, which preceded COVID that saw oil go. We repeated that call in 2024, over a year ago. And you're getting the exact same thing after oil ran to 129. So you had 14 barrels for 1 ounce of gold. At that time, gold was sub $2,000. Since then, you've gone from that $129 all the way down to barely, you can't even hold the 60 handle. Last time I checked, you're at $56. And at the same time, gold has gone through 4,000. And even though it's not at its highs of whatever that was, 4,380, it's maybe $200, $250 down. You've had a huge run in gold. So that trade is the hyperstagflationary trade. A chronic lack of confidence and trust. Stagnation. What do we hold in lieu of fiat's collapsing? Gold, and at the same time, a low economic activity. So there's less orders, less business travel, less packaging, less purchases on Amazon, et cetera, et cetera. Consumer relatively wrecked, stagnation. So you have a hyper extremity of the stagnation, stubbornly high cost fiat debasement being the reason behind that on cost of living. And then at the same time, you have stagnation with low economic activity. So reserve asset crisis combined with low economic activity is hyperstagflation. And we had a more extreme version than the 70s, because we have an entire hemisphere, the Western hemisphere, that's part of that. And to some degree, other nations too, although many of them have realized that and have started to stack gold. So that's the hyperstagflation. I think you also asked a second part to that question, apart from the hyperstagflation. Remind me again, prompt me again, please.
Yeah. You said that most people were incorrectly
positioned. Yes. So you're quite right. Thank you. That was the other part for it. So the concern we have is people are holding too much. Those that do have money are holding too much of it in money markets, bond funds, and even stock markets, because the stock market, there are many that are dining out on calling blow-offs in the stock market. In gold ounces, it is not a blow-off. So what's actually happened is we have no basis for account anymore because the dollar is doing so badly. I regularly refer to it as a sort of arthritic old monkey on a greased pole that is slowly slipping into the crocodile pit. The problem is you don't want to base your valuation on the old monkey with arthritis. You need the fresh new monkey, or maybe not a monkey at all. And gold represents, you know, the unicorn of value and the consistency. And if you look at gold, it is retaining its value, and assets are deflating. We've had a huge era, the Greenspan era, the Goldilocks economy. We had a huge era of asset inflation since then, where he ran very low interest rates in an environment where he said, oh, globalization, no CPI number, I can allow more liquidity to proliferate, which he did. Now we have the night to that day where we are deglobalizing. Everything will cost more if made on land, possibly be of lower quality, because the notion that the Chinese are doing low quality work and don't have great high-tech factories is absolutely flawed. And the notion that you could have let all your industry leave your shores and you could suddenly reshore it and it would be straight up to speed and super high standard is another flawed notion. So what we're deglobalizing, it's going to be higher cost, quite possibly lower quality as well. And at the same time as that contraction, the pizza gets smaller. When you agree to global free trade, the pizza gets bigger. Even if your percentage slice gets smaller, you can still be doing better off. You could have more pizza. When you do the opposite, you're contracting the pizza and you're trying to get a bigger slice just to stay the same, and everybody else is doing likewise. And nobody, you can't all win on that. So that's the stagnation again, and people aren't positioned for that. And even though your equity in nominal terms is going up potentially, it's not outperforming the debasement of your currency, which is illustrated in the gold dollar price. Now, there's a bit of catch-up going on the gold dollar price. It should have been a uniform event that went like that. But like the convexity bankruptcy curve, there suddenly becomes a point where there's no coming back. The probabilities tip, and then it goes exponential. And we're at that point now on the gold price. So we're getting a bit of back pay for previous years when, you know, the probability of bankruptcy wasn't adjusting, but quite clearly the path was never changing. Every political party, every president has all been a budget over expender, which is by de facto definition inflationary. When you spend more than what you get in, you are proliferating new money into existence and doing debasement. And eventually, it's like a dam wall. You can allow water and glaciers to melt and start overflowing the rim of the dam wall. But if you continue to allow an ever greater force of water to keep coming down without opening the sluice gates, the wall does break. And we're in that analogy now. And that's when you get gold catch-up pricing. It's been held back that long, and then all the villages downstream of the dam get flooded. And we're kind of in the economic equivalent of that, and people are not prepared for that. The cost of living is going to escalate dramatically in dollar terms because of the dollar debasement. And it's going to appear almost like overnight. It's going to be a bizarre thing. It's already begun to appear. Even Japan, that has a similar factor, the debasement of the yen. You saw a doubling in rice prices, obviously a key staple there. And you're going to have much the same occurring in the US. So insufficiently, US people are not aware that their country is going to pivot into an incredibly dark period, which is going to be excessive cost of living, and most people not being prepared for it. It's going to be a huge load on welfare, on food stamps, and every other social benefit, just at the point that they can least afford it because they've already borrowed too much and they can't make their interest rate payments. That can lead to an absolute leap in interest rates and debt-based collapse. And that will have a similar effect on the currency, because you can't drown the one half of the Siamese twins without drowning the other baby. So yeah, I hope that's brought some color to that.
Why does it have to be a baby, Francis?
Well, I don't know. The Siamese twins, I don't know why I brought that into mind, but people seem to not understand that money is borrowed into existence and that the proliferation of debt is actually the proliferation of fiat too. So I keep having to bring them down. There's some people that are advocating for how the currency can become super strong. In the long run, it's impossible if your debt is debasing and you have too much of it. You might have a temporary spike due to structural design, but you will not have a sustained strength. You can't have one half of the Siamese twin become a superhero and the other one be buried in the ground. Because they conjoined, essentially. And so we use that analogy. One can't live if the other one is dying, because it's just by design, the system.
Francis, do you suspect that the Keynesian economics is going to be revealed to be the bogus thing that it is soon? Are we getting close to a real tipping point where all this stuff is going to, is there some kind of runaway? I mean, how far out are we before everything blows up where we start seeing our grocery bill times, I don't know, times five, times 10? What are you thinking?
So we are in the acceleration and the quickening phase. In fairness to Keynes himself, you got a kind of neo-Keynesian school. I won't say he was the perfect economist, but he advocated for government to be the spender of last resort when you're in deep depressions. I don't believe he advocated for what's actually transpired, that even in really bull and dominant markets, government should overexpend to their income. And that's kind of a neo-extremist Keynesian view that then morphed into modern monetary theory, where it's kind of like, hey, none of this matters, just keep creating debt. So that model certainly is going to have its comeuppance, and sound money and the more Austrian school of, you know, Hayek, von Mises are going to suddenly, are being realized right now, where gold is the alarm bell that rings. But that doesn't mean the people running the system are going to pivot to sound money. It's not in their interests to be captured. And that's where the reset sniper of our brand exists. We are actually falling under the spell of a parasitic global force that has embedded itself through the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, all the central banking cartels, towards bringing a global communism, a technological communism. They'll have a fascism with cooperation with the big tech companies. It's a corporate fascism. They have a combination of Zionism when you vote Trump and Marxism when you vote Biden or any of the others, but they are synthesizing the two Zionist and Marxist forces, and they will bring a communism for the masses. It will, of course, be an elite, great living style for the insiders who have been part of orchestrating this collapse. So I see it as a grand conspiracy that brings around two classes of people, the insider ruler class that are supremacist, untouchable. And we've seen that already. We don't have capitalism. There's a complete cacocracy. Trump and his family members are front-running crypto pumps and dumps and liquidations. They're also front running Palantir. The statist politicians are running into Palantir just before government contract awards. All forms of self-enrichment for the ruling classes are going down. So this the corruption is never been higher. The front running, the everything. There is so much for the SEC to investigate that they'll never investigate, or say they're investigating only never to be heard again, in terms of what's going on right now. And it is a cost on you, by the way. People think that's a victimless crime. It's a cost on you. They are enriching themselves at the expenses of the masses, and they will enrich themselves in the collapse. You will find out how all those that were part of the destruction in this controlled demolition of the US economy have also will be short bonds, short everything to benefit, again, after benefiting on the pump, also to benefit on the collapse of the system. And they will extract, like, you know, vandals peeling the wallpaper off and the gold fittings out of the cathedral as they asset strip the last vesticles of value from a once great cathedral. And that is Cathedral America, I'm afraid. And it's also the West more broadly, but it's very specifically America, the hegemon and the dollar-based society, which has been throwing IOUs at people that were throwing goods at them. And that trade has ended. They don't trust your IOUs anymore. They don't trust your debt and your dollars anymore. And they are trading them in for gold and silver ounces. And regardless of what the price action of the last 24 hours or few days have said, we were going very aggressively up. It's absolutely normal to have technical corrections all the way. And 6.35% is marginal. It's actually a buying opportunity for investors without leverage.
Francis, GDX has been breaking out lately. Gold itself has recently hit all-time highs. We did see a dip earlier today. How are you reading that? Is that a short-term pullback sentiment starting to shift? Is that just a minor hiccup? How do you view that?
So in terms of miners, miners' costs are in a recession because they're paying terrible fiat, bad money. They're getting rid of bad money whilst they're pulling out of the ground great money. And their costs are with oil. One of the largest costs with digging a hole in the ground is energy, is actually been dipping and going down. So their margins are being boosted on the bottom line, getting lower. And at the same time, their top line is in a parabola. So you're actually seeing a business that's going from, that was a commoditized, hated, largely hated industry with very few participants in the S&P 500, suddenly turning into cash cows that are hemorrhaging capital flows on the basis of sustained prices of gold well above $4,000 and silver well above $50. And this is going to lead to miners making untold margins, and marginal miners that were occasionally just about profitable and occasionally running a small loss suddenly go from being marginal and barely interesting as a stock to being grossly undervalued as suddenly their costs slip by 5 or 10% and their top line has gone up 60% this year. So miners are, providing you can secure certificates and avoid counterparty risks from the great taking, are going to outperform even the precious metals. And this tells me, by the way, this tells me how early we are in this process, because gold is still the dominant grower. Silver is still sitting in the 80s on the gold-silver ratio. Platinum is still moving broadly, quite sluggishly, having made a key target like silver. And the miners are having more down days than gold is having, because everyone's still in disbelief. And this is what I call the epoch trade. People don't realize they've gone from the Northern Hemisphere to the Southern Hemisphere. Farrell's law says the water goes around the opposite way now. And people just haven't clocked that. You've crossed the equator. You don't know it when you're in a boat and you cross the equator, unless you're looking at the maps, the charts, and you recognize, wow, that's a major pivot right now. And that's why you're not guessing which way the water goes around when it goes down the sink correctly, because you didn't notice you crossed the line. And no one throws up a sign and puts up fireworks in the air outside your door to notify you of that. The epoch has pivoted immensely. And miners are, you're waiting for stupid to wake up to cash hemorrhaging hole in the ground diggers, because they're about to become exceedingly valuable. Don't forget, at the same time, they're bottomless mega investment in chips and AI with no return on investment. You're going for the Amazon run all the way up to $106 before the crash all the way back down to six. That doesn't say AI at some point is part of our technological surveillance, corporate, Bolshevik, communistic, managerial grid system won't at some point deliver some returns. But right now it's not. They are getting the, everybody's waking up and buying NVIDIA. Chase, chase, chase. They should all be wailing into precious metals. Then they can sell their precious metal stocks when the gold-silver ratio falls through 30 and is heading to a possible dip into the single digit, they can then sell their silver miners and start buying AI again. That would be my personal opinion in terms of this. Everybody is incorrectly positioned for the epoch, and the epoch is a reserve asset-based crisis. You can't have a debt-based collapse, a supposed to be boring asset class, lose 55% from late 2020 through to 24. That's not even 3-4 years. Bond markets were there to be boring and stable and give a little bit of yield. It's over. That 40-year period is over, and it needs to go lower. And to ensure that it's not just the bond market that collapsed, the dollar debased 10 or 11% to introduce some of that collapse. Imagine you're a foreign investor in a semi-serious fiat currency, the Swiss franc. Not only will you have had 55% loss in the last 3 years on the bonds, you're also getting a loss in the dollar value of those bonds. That's a further re-rating downwards of the debt. And I talk about the lockstep of debt debasement, fiat debasement, debt debasement, fiat debasement. And they each take turns.
So from a trader's perspective, how do you hedge against the erosion of fiat? Is gold still king? Are there other assets? I mean, are there specific commodities that you like that you're keeping an eye on? How do we better protect ourselves?
Sure. I'll build on your question a tiny bit, because you said, how do we hedge? The obvious hedge is what I've been saying for a while, gold. And of course, to a degree, silver and platinum later on in the cycle, which is why we're still early, because gold is still in the 80s on the gold-silver ratio. I'm actually going to answer the question, how do I hedge for the occasional pullbacks that you get on gold? Because your hedge is gold. That's a simple, easy question. The point is, you've just had a 6% pullback. What if you were leverage trading a little bit on that? By the way, you need real method. You need to have stop losses, entries, and targets on leverage trading, something we specifically do with HVF method. But let's assume you were in our community, you understood HVF method, and you were long. Well, we provided our community a USD JPY upside setup and a USD Korean One upside setup. And whilst my shorter time frame setups, and they've all been making profit for the last 6 months, whilst today's and yesterday's actually stopped out on the negative gold reaction, my USD Korean Won and Yen's both popped up by a similar degree. So I'm no worse off. And those were my hedges for this event on the occasional pullback, because you might get us, we pointed out on the Dixie, I haven't shown you much in terms of charts, but we pointed out on the weekly and the monthly on the Dixie that it's at a key level and you might get a little bit of dollar support here. We told our community this, and we told you how you hedge against the possibility of a gold blow off and pullback. So we've actually been making money now on the tiny bit of dollar strength that's come in against even weaker, call it slave nation currencies of South Korea and Japan, which are kind of co-opted into the Western hegemon, along with the Commonwealth, the UK and Europe, that have also been sudden big buyers. By the way, we've also done a video on the Cayman Islands exposure, about 4 times the amount of treasuries that they've been buying, sustaining the Ponzi schemes. So if you have any doubts about the degree of fraud, the Fed recently announced that the Cayman Islands actually has 4 times the amount of treasuries. And it was already, given its geography and GDP, a disproportionately large holder of Fed treasuries. So there's all kinds of corruption, and the only winner in against this corruption is your physically held gold. But occasionally, as a trader, if you've been milking it all the way along up, how do you hedge for those trades? Have a little bit of Korean won action, USD KRW, and we are up. I'm up for today. I got stopped out with tight stops on my trades, my small leverage trades, but I've been taking profits all the way along on small time frames on the gold bull market. And you're going to eventually lose one. And we had a small time frame lock, and we're disproportionately up on our Korean ones and yens. So that's the hedge I'm interested in. How do you hedge your gold? Because the gold's the obvious hedge for collapse.
When you look at gold and miners, technically, what patterns or signals are you watching that tell the real story? What might you know, everyday investors be missing that your analysis picks up on?
What they'll miss is real targets, real entries, and interim levels where it might rest. We've done quite a bit on Hecla, Coa, First Majestic, all of the miners, and we have huge targets on them, many of them with 4 or 5x, and in some instances, 10 and 15x to go, with technicals that suggest those are key levels, and multiple forms of technicals, which also includes point and figure targets that we've recently incorporated. So it's important to know where you might rest. You've just had a gold pullback and it's resting. On the quarterly chart, it's a nothing burger. On the monthly chart, it's barely significant. This week is the only week that's currently showing negative so far, and we're only sitting on, you know, Tuesday. Who knows what it'll be on Friday? Maybe it'll sell off some more. Maybe it'll go up. On the short term, I'm more likely to be as much wrong as right. On the macro setups, in terms of miners, we have great, great targets. It's more a question of on balance of probabilities. I'm actually expecting all those targets to be met and exceeded, because first setups tend to give us disproportionate upside, but we do partial closes at the targets. And the big time frames, we're very, very accurate broadly. So it's only when you start chasing the needle on the tick that you tend to start getting more random and less consistency. These setups have been brewing. By the way, the silver setup, it might be worth just bringing up some charts just to put some color.
Yes.
Going, you know, what are you talking about? I'm talking verbally, but a picture is 1,000 words. We traded this setup here very, very successfully on an HVF, and it gave us huge amounts to then turn into physical silver. That's exactly what we talk about, the volatility, a compression, really low vol down, small candles up. That was an absolute beg to get in. And now everybody's dying because of one big slap in the face candle. That's 5.7% down. That will shake its head soon enough. But here's an example. I was going to show you silver, because we actually say the next major level is going to be at the doorstep on silver of the 100. So you're going to be in the 90s before you'll pause again. That's in spite of this pullback. On the big time frames, remember, so I'm reverting to a monthly. You're getting a little bit of a shooting star here. We've said a couple of times that to everyone watching that the run into the 50 zone, you might get a reaction and a counterattack at some point. That's exactly what's happened. Why? Because every time you got up to these levels, that's 37.5, you get a bit of a pushback attack. There you can see a big wick give back in the 80s. You had a couple of wicks give back. That's a kind of a shooting star there. The candles there, long wick. You've got another attempt that was rebuffed. It's typical. And now you're getting a lot smaller one, which means the ability to push it down actually in terms of 2011 and 1980 is actually for now quite small beer. If that continues to come down a little bit and turns red and is a little body, so you'll have a shooting star. What that might mean is, we said you could pull back one more time. We always talk about once, twice, three times, and then the lady. So we've said for a long time now, you know, it's a Lionel Richie song, by the way. There's your first hit back in 1980. That's your 2011. And then your weakest and softest, but still some reaction. You're not going to go away for, you know, a decade before you come back, or 15 years or even more here. The time between movements, there's a quickening, but you could have this little dip and then you break, then you're really breaking. So if I show you this pattern with HVF method and say, have a look at the target it's generating, I mean, it's absolutely massive. We are calling a $330. We call it all the threes. And it is huge. It is absolutely huge target, but our interim levels, our interim level two tells us you'd probably have a rest just before the hundreds. So you're going to go potentially down first. Everyone's going to say, but you said silver's a buy. You could go potentially down first on this shooting star that might be forming on the quarter. We don't know. We're not at the end of the quarter. This is the fourth quarter. We're in October. We've still got November, December. So we could have a down week. We could even have two or three down weeks. And then November comes and you start having a few up weeks again. This entire little handle could have played out in very short succession. And the quarterly candle could be back up here. We don't know. I can't tell you how long a pullback might be. That gets into clairvoyance that I simply don't have. But I'm going to give you the imperfection. And let's just take out one level and I'll show you where that 100 level comes in. So we're just going to put that in there and you will see that this is our draw. So if you can see some lines suddenly appeared, the target is up top there at 330. And we've run our first interim and we're getting a little bit of a pullback now. You could come back down and support on this. That would be even in the 40s, the low 40s potentially. You could even come, it's all within realms of possibility. You could even come all the way back to the 30s. I'm not saying that will happen. I'm just saying any of the possibilities could happen and then you'll still be on the quarterly time frame exactly where you should be. You could pull back all the way like that. And you can have another handle so that this is a cup to that handle. And that is obviously a cup to this being a handle. You typically get three. And then from here, the break.
And the lady.
Yes, the lady comes. And no longer in transgender pink, you're a full hetero again. And you're waiting for $330. And the run up to 1,000. I think unobtainium, all these exercises where we've gone up and we've depleted above ground stocks, eventually get that they don't have much resistance eventually when you come the fourth time after three rebuttals. There's no resistance left. They're ready to dance with you now. They're tired of sending you on your way. And you're the winner. You've got a dance partner. And this goes a long, long way. And by the way, think of what that does for miners like Fres Milo, First Majestic, and all the other silver miners, Wheaton, etc., etc. Wow. I mean, you haven't, it's going to be face meltingly good when that starts running. And all the fundamentals are followed, funny enough. People love directives. They don't like technicals. I do the technicals first. I get excited technically.
Yeah.
I'll listen to the stories. It's taken me a long, long time to be that guy that's reversed all of this. That's how we get to call the oil crash and the gold pump of pre-COVID and again in 2024. That's playing out in front of everybody and hyperstagflation and bringing you the economic model. The technical chart showed me it was going to be that way. A bad environment for oil, a great environment for gold. What kind of economic criteria is that? It's stagnation. It's stagnation. It's not economically strong. It's stagnation. It's a recession for the consumer, largely. We'll go into a full-blown depression, and that's where it gets tricky because many people are underprepared. But silver and gold will protect them. And I want more people retail protected because that's one less rioter. That's one less hater that wants to rob you because you made the right decisions. We need to win Main Street over and say, here's how you protect yourself from the statist overreach. And it's looking at you on this chart. This is one of the most bullish charts. And I was a lot younger man when this was topping out in 1980. I can tell you that. A man probably isn't the word, a schoolboy in 1980. And I lived through the tail end of the Nixon inflation decade. Ironically enough, I have recall, even though I was pretty young. I was born in 68. So yeah, I feel like my whole life is this one setup in silver. And I came up with HVF method and all the time this big setup was forming while I was getting to, you know, our template and introducing students, teaching it, bringing it on, starting a community, doing all of these things, my entire development of my business and everything, all happening. And there's this one setup that was literally takes me from my primary school years and weird little boy memories right the way through this. And it's now here. And, you know, it's going to make us HVF traders very wealthy and investors. It's not just a trading thing. I'm not sitting with nine screens here. We set and forget. We lifestyle traders. We're not jumping in, jumping out. And this is a rainmaker trade right here in silver. Absolutely. And we haven't even got to the part where it's overperforming to gold. So this is early doors. You're going to have plenty of headlines about what's going on. And there, gold got slammed, all them gold bugs, all the hooray, early postmortems. Forget it. This game has just begun. You've just been given a buying opportunity if you aren't already in.
So what would be your top few things to watch over the next, 6, 12 months? I mean, what are the key signals that tell you where things are really headed?
Well, we were very bearish the dollar for a while, but now you've come to a key point. I'll just show you the Dixie. So I think you might get a little bit more general dollar index strength. So I'm just going to show you this on a monthly level. We've highlighted key events on the dollar. So this is the Dixie. Remember, it's mainly being measured against the euro here, which has its own problems. And again, the HVF method has been absolutely superb on the Dixie as well as a draw and a targeting aspect. Let's see if I can do 2 weeks here and split this out. We aren't always haters on the dollar. Some people think it's personal. No, we were actually bullish the dollar during this period. There's the entry, the green line, that's the stop. And we said target up top here. At that point, Brent Johnson was saying Dixie to 140. That was when it was at 112. It topped at the top end of the channel that we've drawn. It touched the channel and it came all the way back down. And now it's come all the way down and it's supporting on that same funnel. It's supporting on that same funnel and you've got a hammer. So there's actually a bit of support. Not only, there's a number of reasons why it's getting support. The basing ascending grind line, which is this long-term trend there, that's one of the reasons it's getting support. The horizontal funnel level, that was a very successful trade from the 80s, the mid 80s, late 80s, all the way up to 112. That trade, we were calling the dollar long in that space. And now you're getting a base and a grinding, you know, it's not super strong for the dollar, but it's not going down and it's broadly grinding a little bit up. All occurring over here, and you're stuck between the 100 index level, that blue line that you can see there. So you're trapped between the blue line and this ascending line. So you've got a little bit of a squeeze into the wedge. Now, I would imagine it breaks above the blue line at some point, and that'll be a little bit of firmness of the dollar against the euro and the yen and some others. And as I've mentioned, we use the yen and the Korean won at the moment, which we're very bearish of. We think they're slave nations. We think they're the wholesale funding mechanism for casino America. Carry trade, borrow in cheap yen, run it in and throw it at the casino Mag 7. Eventually, that saturation of investment capital into the sponge that is Mag 7 will dissipate into other markets. We're very bullish the China A50. We've been bullish the Nikkei for a long time on the yen debasement. And you'll know that the Nikkei has been huge. And the Chinese A50 shares is going to do very, very well as well. But right now, gold dominates because it's a reserve asset crisis. But we will trickle through into those Singapore and China indices because capital formation, wealth building, future corporations, they're not going to be coming out of California garages and basements anymore. There's other parts of the world now that are innovators.
Francis, I, first of all, love your analogies. It's entertaining. I love your charts and your insights. They're very insightful, and I'm hoping that it'll help a lot of listeners and retail investors protect themselves from the coming chaos that you feel that's quite imminent, it seems. And so I'm hoping that investors take action. But if you can tell us a bit about the Market Sniper, kind of the services that you provide that maybe people can take advantage of.
So what you just saw in terms of how I rip a chart up is HVF method, the Hunt Volatility Funnel method. In other words, those unique moments that are leading most indicators. You'll notice we don't have RSIs, overboards, or anything else. That's math formulas on price data. There's nothing predictive about any of that. And I talk about the 4x4 farmer with his Ford F-350 towing out a dead corpse in the river. There's nothing predictive about the where he will go, given the cow's movement behind it. Mathematics is the Torah. The cow is dead. It's not going to determine where he turns, whether he accelerates or not. Price is the primary indicator. It is the engine of the car and the driver's inputs. It's not the cow's. However, there are certain things that do add value. So there's quite a bit that needs debunking in technical analysis. There are a lot of people that sold shovels to gold panners who were failed gold diggers themselves, and they created indicators and formulas, and they're largely useless. However, volume leads and is proven. So when you get volume by price, or volume histograms. You start to see an increase of volume. It's a leading indicator, not a lagging indicator. Volatility is a leading indicator, and it is very unique, hence the V in the Hunt volatility funnel. We talk about it funneling. Think your protein shake, how you get that powder into the thin neck. That is when price behavior is being squeezed very tight. You get to have one of the rare moments you get to do risk management very tight to the price behavior, yet you get an asymmetric gain to the upside or downside with a tight stop. That means you lose little and you gain a lot because volatility explodes back in. Think of your early question about things are going so well with a wife and then she really throws her handbag at you. That is an example of coming out of the blue volatility. And absolutely, that is a unique opportunity. So we trade volatility, volume with the support of volume, and we trade it also another leading indicator is patterns. So we utilize all three proven on balance of probability based. There's no guarantees. And we combine them all together to get very tight risk, asymmetric rewards, and position to use judicious amounts of leverage to accelerate your gold and silver stacking in reset times. So the whole raison d'etre, which is the fancy French way of saying, what's our reason for existence? And you ask, how can we support your audience? You are in reset times. You're talking about a whole scale economic collapse. We have recognized this for an extended period. We aim to accelerate your wealth building with judicious use of leverage and HVF method, and then to protect that wealth through multiple jurisdictional aspects, efficiency with tax and a whole bunch of other things, banking accounts outside of the Western Axis in lieu of possible great takings and bank collapses, and then further entrench your freedoms, point number three, which will allow you residencies in multiple outside of the West countries, because governments are going to go into scavenge mode once they can't borrow anymore. So those are a swathe of benefits we stand to offer you if you recognize that we are in those times and something very dire is coming. As I've said, the bankruptcy curve, Hemingway's bankruptcy curve, we are now in the escalating spill away period of fiat, and you don't understand the amount of damage it's going to wreak on your neighbors and everyone around you, even if you've protected yourself. It's better to have optionality outside your country, real hard terms money, and you need to keep building wealth, because what you think is enough in debasement times may not be near as much as you think. The social contract's going to be reneged on. To do all those things, the Market Sniper YouTube channel is your starting point. There's links there to book a call with us so that you can find out more about our community and what we do, and participate in what's going to be economic case history of absolute centuries, I would even say millennia. You've never had a depression and an economic collapse that is so contentious and so vast in nature ever experienced in written history that we know of. That is what you're going to live and experience. And there's huge opportunities in that, as black-pilled and dire as that sounds, but you have to have positioned correctly. You have to observe this correctly. As hard as certain things fall, other things will rise. And we aim to make sure you're on the beneficial side of that equation, and preserving that wealth and also having optionality against ever-reaching governments. If that resonates, the Market Sniper YouTube channel is your start point, or X as well. Thanks.
Francis, I enjoyed having you on. Thanks for breaking it all down for us and for sharing your insights with me as well as our listeners. We did have some technical difficulties there, but thank you for finishing out the interview and your thoughts. For everyone tuning in, check out the Market Sniper. Francis's analysis is some of the sharpest you'll find in gold commodities and markets in general. I'll include his links below. Don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a comment. Francis, thanks again for joining me. It's been a real pleasure and love to have you back soon. Thanks again.